So today I would like to discuss the possibility of existence of multiple solutions to the dynamo problem at the same values of the control parameters of the problem. And of course, that bistability and hysteresis might occur in a chaotic dynamical system is not at all surprising. And then you might ask the question, why did I bother to investigate this particular topic? I didn't do it on purpose. I mean, it just happened that I observed hysteresis in my simulations, and then I think that it is important to point out this phenomenon so that we are aware of it in our simulations and in our experiments. And finally, this work is a continuation of a series of systematic parameter studies, which I have been doing in the last 2 years with Friedrich Busse in the University of Bayreuth. Just a few words about the setting of our problem and what makes it different from the rest of the geodynamo simulations. So basically, we consider the problem of magnetic field generation in chaotic thermal convection of electrically conducting fluid in rapidly rotating spherical shells. And here I just list my basic equations and non-dimensional parameters. So we have the Rayleigh number, the Coriolis number, and the ordinary and magnetic Prandtl numbers. And people always complain about me using the Coriolis number. So this is just the inverse of the Ekman number. So your usual Ekman number would be 1 over tau. Further things to notice about the model, we use the Boltzmann-esque approximation, and we have an insulating inner core of that geometrical configuration. Things which make our model different from the rest of the geodynamo simulations is that we somehow, in an unusual sense, use stress-free boundary conditions for the velocity field rather than the more usual no-slip boundary conditions. And the effect of this is that it generates quite strong differential rotation, which we find important for dynamo action. And then convection is driven not by temperature difference across the boundaries, but it is driven by internally distributed heat sources. And this formulation of the problem is most relevant for modeling the geodynamo and planetary dynamos. However, I do not claim that my solutions are realistic, and I would prefer to look at them from a more general MHD point of view. So, well, with this formulation of the problem, we could easily get chaotic solutions, chaotic dynamo solutions, and the typical values of the magnetic Reynolds number, which we achieve, are about 100 to 500. So here, I just have plotted two examples of two different dynamo solutions. The left one, here and here, I call mean dipolar dynamo, and this one I call fluctuating dipolar dynamo. These are time series of the magnetic energy densities, and here you have the kinetic energy densities, and this is the color legend for my figure. So the two solutions are obviously different, but the most noticeable quantitative or qualitative difference actually in the solutions is the role of the axisymmetric toroidal magnetic field. So this is the thicker black line here and here. And this is the magnetic field component which you would most readily observe some distance away from the Earth, say, or from a planetary body, because this is the component which will penetrate the mantle and which will decay slower with radius. So in one of the simulations, this component has a dominant role, while in the other case, so in my right-hand dynamo, it plays the least significant role. And what is interesting is actually that these are two different dynamo solutions which are generated for identical values of the control parameters. So with my definition, I have used here a Rayleigh number of 3.5 million, which is roughly 10 times the critical value for the onset of convection. And this Coriolis number is 30,000, which is roughly 10 to minus 4 value of the Ekman number, then the ordinary Prandtl number is 0.75 and the magnetic Prandtl number is 1.5. And it would seem from this picture that, well, I have two different chaotic attractors which coexist at this set of parameter values. And then one wonders if this is some very strange odd case, or is this a general behavior which I see in my solution? Well, in order to answer this question, now I have performed a set of dynamo simulations where I kept the Rayleigh number and the Coriolis number fixed, and I only vary my Prandtl number, so the magnetic and the ordinary Prandtl number is given on this axis, and this is the ratio between the two diffusivities. And I plot here the value of the fluctuating axisymmetric poloidal magnetic field to the mean poloidal magnetic field. When I do that, my set of solutions nicely separate in, well, in two groups, into classes, should I say. So then these are the fluctuating dipolar dynamos, for which the fluctuating poloidal component is larger than the mean poloidal component. And these are the mean dipolar dynamos. Right, but then it is quite sort of, you could notice, or you could think of this as being two different chaotic attractors in a fully chaotic, chaotic system. What was surprising, actually, for me was that the transition between these two regimes seems to be quite abrupt. I mean, we have an abrupt, not a gradual change. When we cross, it seems, a critical value of the parameter for this, well, in this case, the ordinary Prandtl number. So this transition turned out to be not so simple after all. So the best way probably to investigate the transition was to take cuts in the parameter space. And in this slide, I present three such cuts. So for this first figure A, I have kept the Rayleigh number fixed, and I have also kept the ratios between the two diffusivities fixed. So the ratio of the ordinary to the magnetic Prandtl number is 0.1, and in all cases, the rotation rate is fixed. And here I vary simultaneously the Prandtl and the magnetic Prandtl number. I plot the results. So the results turn out to depend on the initial conditions from which you start. So if I start from a fluctuating dipolar dynamo, what will happen is that I will remain on this branch until I reach a value of the ordinary Prandtl number of about 2.2. And then if I start from a fluctuating dipolar, from a mean dipolar dynamo, I will remain on this branch as I decrease the ordinary Prandtl number until the value of the Prandtl number comes to 0.5. And the transitions, well, seems to be of hysteretic type. So then I try to investigate whether something similar happens in the other parameters. So for this figure, I have kept all parameters fixed and by the magnetic Prandtl number. And I seem to observe the same behavior. Just the thing is that I still have not closed the hysteresis loop in that direction, simply because the ratio between the two diffusivities becomes too large, and it is numerically difficult to compute. So all the computations are ongoing, and the same thing happens here. So for instance, I have reached this value of the Rayleigh number, which is about 15 to 20 times the critical for the onset of convection, but I expect that I will observe a jump at some point to a fluctuating dipolar dynamo. Right. Well, then the natural question was to investigate whether this hysteresis phenomenon is a magnetic effect or is it a convective effect. And this is done relatively simply. So I again start with the two different attractors, the mean dipolar dynamo and the fluctuating dipolar dynamo, and use this as initial conditions in purely thermal computation, so in non-magnetic convection computation. So once I shut down the magnetic field, the convection rapidly equilibrates to statistically, basically identical convective state, and the state, well, for these values of the parameter, that turns out to be relaxation oscillations, something which we have observed before in our computation, so this is something which you understand. But the basic point is that this hysteresis effect seems to be a magnetic phenomenon. Well, these two are the ones that I showed on the first slide, and I simply used them as initial conditions. So this is the convection field, which is continued here and here. So these are the non-magnetic computation. Well, the red curves are the differential rotation. Then the blue curve is the fluctuating toroidal component, and then you the various other things. Well, these are the two solutions which. What do you mean faster or slower? Well, no, no. Well, in terms of say the Nusselt number will decrease, but this is due to the growth of the differential rotation. You could see that figure. Yeah. Well, just in the last 2 minutes, I will point out some of the some of the substantially different properties of these two regimes. So again, fixed values, identical values of the parameters in the two attractors, the mean dipolar dynamo and the fluctuating dipolar dynamo. Well, in the fluctuating dipolar case, the magnetic field seems to be smaller scale and less regular than in the other case where you have a well-established dipole. And this is seen both in the meridional cuts of the toroidal field lines and the poloidal field lines, and in the radial component of the magnetic field. So for instance, the radial component of the magnetic field, this is quite clear. I mean, in this case, it has a strong lateral dependence, while in this case, it is quite independent of the lateral, latitude. Right, then the effect, well, then the different magnetic fields also induce effect on convection. So what happens is that that mean dipolar case has a stronger magnetic field, and this stronger magnetic field tends to inhibit the differential rotation somewhat stronger, and your differential rotation profile is of a thermal wind type, while this is not so pronounced in the other case of the fluctuating dipole, and here we have the typical geostrophic balance, geostrophic profile of the differential rotation. Variations in the temporal, differences in the temporal variations. Well, the mean dipolar dynamo is non-oscillating, so the snapshots which I showed in the previous slide will simply stay there in time and will not change too much, while the fluctuating dynamo are typically oscillating. And I have discussed oscillations several times before, so I will not repeat this. But here is just a nice example of an oscillation from the fluctuating dipolar regimes. And just briefly to my conclusions, well, I seem to find these two different chaotic attractors in chaotic dynamo simulations. And they seem to have significantly different properties and seem to coexist over some range of parameter values. For instance, the Prandtl number, the range of coexistence of the hysteresis phenomenon, Prandtl number goes from 0.5 to 2, magnetic Prandtl number typically from 0.5 to 10, and the Rayleigh number, well, from the onset of dynamo action to about 10 to 15 times the critical value of for the onset of convection. And well, and then the interpretation, what I would like to point out is that most of my own and those of other groups' dynamo simulations have been precisely in this regime of parameter values. So we should probably be extra careful in interpreting our results, both from numerical simulations and from experiments. So thank you.
sorry, you showed a lot of plots. So in this hysteresis phenomenon, do you have it only when the resistivity is smaller than the thermal diffusivity?
Or no.
Because could it be a remnant of like an overstable mode and a steady mode of convection?
No,
at large,
well, I mean, this
living
is...
Living in the same region.
I mean, this is also always a possibility. I mean, you never know when to stop the simulations, but, well, some of these calculations have been, I've continued them to about 4 magnetic diffusion times. And this is much less than what I would typically do in my dynamo calculation. So I think they are long lasting and it's not a transient effect. I mean, you could see that I sort of, I would say that they're roughly of the same size. Yeah.
In the region of hysteresis, is the Nusselt number for the two states similar?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
it
does,
is. Yeah,
and
it
then
is.
When the hysteresis stops, does one of them have a significantly different Nusselt number? Is one
no,
of them
actually,
more efficient?
Actually, throughout the parameter regime, the Nusselt numbers are very similar. So, I mean,
even when there's no hysteresis?
With hysteresis and without hysteresis, yeah, but throughout the region. And I would interpret this, this is probably related to the mechanism of the two states, which I don't clearly understand, but they're trying to, the magnetic field is somehow trying to reduce the influence of this strong differential rotation. And it does it in various ways, but it achieves the same effect probably in some sense.
Could you come back to your hysteresis plot for the one on the right? Okay, so for the Rayleigh number here, so I get, if I recall, the red dots are for the fluctuating dynamos?
That is right, yeah.
Okay, so what happened to the, you haven't been able yet to complete the blue curve, but now as you increase the Rayleigh number, you expect it to go to the red curve.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I expect that my dynamos will become smaller scale, more turbulent,
and
more chaotic, and then we'll jump from here to.
So, do we understand that as you increase the Rayleigh number and get to a higher turbulent state, you should get only the fluctuating one?
That's what I think, but we have to see that.
It's the ordinary Prandtl number which controls the difference between these two regimes, is it? Yeah? So it's the mean dipolar, when it's mean dipole dominated, is that when the inertia is small in your equations, and the other one when the inertia is large?
Yeah.
So basically this is a transition between inertially dominated convection, yeah,
right.
and inertially not absent convection. Yeah.
No.
Playing a relatively minor role.
So with high Prandtl number convection, the higher Prandtl number somehow overcomes the differential rotation and produces the thermal wind effect.
Yeah.
And stress-free. They're stress-free boundary conditions, yes.
Well, thank you very much.